All right, welcome back to the Honors Element. I'm Ben Lear, here as always with Morgan Vincent. Morgan, how's your caffeine level today?
Just high enough to keep my thermodynamic system in motion. Ben, and by the way, before we dive in, if you all have been in class, we spent one period talking about breaking water apart with electricity. Lots of energy moving in, electrons zipping all over, and, well, it set us up for today's topic perfectly.
Exactly. So let's start with something we've hinted at before, setting clear boundaries between what we call the system and what's just everything else, aka the surroundings. In chemistry, our system is often a reaction, like burning hydrogen, and the surroundings are literally everything else outside that reaction flask.
Right. The reason we care is because we want to track where energy is coming from and where it's going. Take the classic example of hydrogen combustion. Two H2 molecules meet one O2, sparks fly, and suddenly you've got two water molecules and a lot of heat spilling out. The system, here, is just the reactants and products. Everything outside, your hand, the air, anything else, that's the surroundings.
And that brings us straight to the first law of thermodynamics, which really just says, no matter what wild chemical shenanigans you try, energy is never created or destroyed. The universe's energy is constant. What that means is, as the system changes, say, those bond-breaking and bond-forming moments with hydrogen and oxygen, any energy lost by the system is picked up by the surroundings or vice versa.
So, if your hydrogen combustion gives off energy, that energy flows out of the system and into the surroundings, maybe heating up the air or your hand, if you're not being very safe in a lab. Ben, you've got a better memory for this sort of thing than I do. The change in energy for the universe is what?
Huh. Easy one. The change in energy for the universe is zero. D for the universe equals zero, so any gain by the system is a loss from the surroundings and vice versa. That fundamental conservation, energy not being made or poofed away, will haunt us in a good way through the entire course.
Let's get into how we actually track that energy. There's this idea of sign conventions, and I know the first time I saw those, I mixed them up every other problem. Basically, positive energy flow means energy is entering the system, like making a deposit into your bank account. Negative means energy is leaving, like paying your bills. Except, you know, less stressful.
Yeah, that analogy works. If you add heat to the system or do work on it, that's positive. System's getting a bonus. But if energy leaks out, say the reaction does work on the surroundings by pushing up a piston or releasing heat, that's negative. So DE, the change in internal energy, is positive for gains, negative for losses.
Let's make that concrete with equations. The first law, written out, is DU argon Q plus W. DU is the change in internal energy of the system. Q is heat, W is work. Add them together and you get how much the system's energy has changed. If you heat something up, Q is positive. If you compress a gas, work is done on it. W is positive. If a reaction does work on its surroundings, W is negative.
And worth noting, the way we add up energy, you can think about it in terms of kinetic energy, potential energy, or with heat and work. It really depends on if we are looking at the energy or the energy flows. In chemistry, the sum of heat and work gives you the change in internal energy. Like, if you have gas in a piston and you push down, you're doing work. If you heat it, you're adding heat. Both change the internal energy. Both could change the potential or kinetic energy. Or both.
Right. So I can change the total energy of the system by doing heat or work. And remember our hydrogen combustion? That's energy flowing out as heat. If we gather it, we could power something, right? But if the system does physical work, like expanding and moving a piston, now part of the energy shows up as work instead of just heat. Both the heat and the work must be tracked because together they account for all the energy changes.
Now here's the tricky thing that you will hear us saying over and over again. The change in temperature is not the same as the change in heat. Oftentimes they go hand in hand, but this is not always the case. Temperature is a measure of kinetic energy. Heat is a measure of energy flows.
Imagine placing a pebble and a bucket of water in the sun. Both absorb the same sunlight, but while the pebble becomes too hot to touch, the water barely warms. The difference shows that heat is the energy absorbed, while temperature change depends on where that energy goes. To kinetic or potential energy. This will depend on how much and what kind of substance is absorbing it. This is something we will explore more in depth soon. So, we've got our sign conventions and our tracking system laid out. But here's where a lot of people trip up. Not all thermodynamic quantities are created equal. Some are called state functions. That means their value only depends on where you started and ended, not how you got there.
Internal energy, U volume, V temperature, T, these are all state functions. It doesn't matter if you went the scenic route or just went straight up the mountain. The total altitude you gain is the same, but the path you take, the trail length, that's not a state function. You know, that's more like work or heat. Their values actually do depend on which route you pick.
Let's try the analogy. If you fly straight from Chicago to Denver, your change in elevation, state function, is identical whether you took a direct flight or drove all the back roads. But the miles you rack up, that's the path function. In chemistry, heat and work are like the winding roads, path dependent, changing with every little detour.
Now, bringing this home, we often focus on another state function, enthalpy, H. Enthalpy is heat under very specific circumstances when the pressure does not change. If you're working at constant pressure, which in open flasks or our lungs, we usually are, enthalpy basically tells you how much heat has flowed into or out of the system, but it also incorporates the work the system does as it changes volume. The equation for this is dH is dU plus pdV. Enthalpy is crucial for understanding reactions because it connects the internal energy change and the work the system does on its surroundings, especially for reactions where gases are involved.
Exactly, and in real life, it comes up more than you'd think. Like if I'm cooking rice and water boils off, that's a change in volume, and the enthalpy tells me how much heat was actually required. So in cooking or in the industry, you need to know, where did the energy go? Into changing the temperature, into pushing up a lid or out as steam.
And remember, only state functions let you compare beginning and end without worrying about details. So whether you're designing a chemical plant or just trying not to burn dinner, track your energy's bookkeeping like a chemist. Always ask if you're looking at a state function or a path function. That little habit saves so much confusion later.
I mean, none of us want to lose track of where all the heat in the kitchen or the lab went. That's the beauty of thermodynamics. It's not just another layer of math. It's actually practical. So, next time you see steam or feel warmth from a reaction, remember, you're just interacting with these very concepts in real time.
That's a great way to wrap up, actually. We hope this gave you a grip on systems, surroundings, the first law, and why state functions are your study buddies in chemistry. Next time, we'll dig into how we use these principles to calculate enthalpy changes for real chemical reactions. Morgan, always a pleasure. See you next time.
For sure, Ben. Thanks everyone for joining us. Let's keep the energy flowing, pun completely intended. Catch you all in the next episode.